Spotlight. This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's potential in the mobility sector. The participants are Anil Padmanabhan, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
To discuss India's potential in green technology and mobility sector, we are joined in by Anil Padmanabhan, economic analyst. A warm welcome, Anil, to Akashwani.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Anil, what are the key factors driving India's shift towards green technology and sustainable mobility?
Rajesh, there are several factors driving it, but primarily India's commitment to go zero carbon by 2070 has galvanized this sector, because the approach to zero carbon world has to come from multiple avenues and multiple routes. So green mobility is one of them. And the easiest form of adoption in green mobility is in automobiles, the cars, and what we see in the cities, and gradually, of course, move to trucks, etc. But the primary target is this, because that alone will reduce pollution in a large way. We saw it in the instance of the CNG adoption with the buses in Delhi, and then autos, and then cars, and pollution level did drop in Delhi. Of course, it has since rebounded to other factors, but there was a clear correlation between the change, the shift towards a more greener technology, a greener fuel, resulting in lesser pollution. So green mobility is a very important part of India's approach to zero carbon. So this is one form of incentive. There are other incentives for why you want to go there, because A, this kind of technology is more sustainable, and unlike in hydrocarbon, so which is anyway limited shelf life. We all know that access to petroleum may not last more than another 2 or 3 decades. So what is the alternatives? So this is why this whole approach to adopt green mobility is gaining momentum, not just in India, but the entire world.
You mentioned galvanizing. So how are the reforms and policies, particularly made in India for the world and the ease of doing business, galvanizing India's potential in green technology?
An honest answer, Rajesh, it's a work in progress, but understandable, since your course correction is happening after decades of a different regime. So these things take time, and particularly in a complex country like India, but they're visible. The fact that the Prime Minister in his address has thrown his weight behind EV adoption and committed to incentivize foreign investments in India, he has literally rolled out a fresh red carpet to foreign investors in green mobility in India. So whichever way we look at, there is greater effort to draw investments in this sector, because at this level of technology, India is yet to come up to speed. So we do need to depend on foreign investment. So if you remember, in November 2, the government tweaked the incentives, and some companies have taken cue from that. One good example is the Vietnamese company Vinfast, and today they announced two new models at the ongoing Green Mobility Conference. These are things which will take time, but yes, it is happening.
Surely it will take time, but how does the green technology align with India's broader sustainability and climate goals, including the commitments under the Paris Agreement?
Oh, yes, Rajesh, that's what I mentioned right at the beginning, that commitment to 2070. And also, I would add another factor why adoption of green is so important for you, because it's strategically very important for India too. Right now, we import 80% of our fuel needs. And yes, we have good relations with most of the countries manufacturing crude, whether it's Russia or West Asia or Venezuela or any of these countries. But fluid geopolitical world, this can become a point of where a country can weaponize it, like it happened when the conflict broke out between Russia and Ukraine. So from the strategic point of view, it is very important that India diversify its fuel needs. And in that, including green fuel in that basket is very important. Also contributes, of course, like you mentioned, in reducing India's carbon emissions, which is not just, I think it's not only to meet its global commitment, it's also for public good in India. We in Delhi know the consequences of unbridled pollution, and for that matter, About, I think about 40 cities in India are considered polluted by global standards. So if you look at it from all these directions, India's need to adopt green technology is very, very important. And it's fortunately for us, both the policy mindset and the commercial, which is India Inc.'s intent, are perfectly aligned at this point of time.
So, Anil, how is India integrating renewable energy sources like solar and wind into its industrial and urban development plans? Are there any specific government policies or programs that are encouraging the development of green technologies?
Oh, yes, Rajesh. I mean, forever we have had government policies encouraging green technologies in India. Solar was the earlier start. Then you had wind power. And it is then the solar voltaic cells. Now India, the government has been emphasizing and encouraging domestic production of these solar voltaic cells. And then a lot of this new green technology revolves on, you know, what we call microchips. And at this point, India imports almost 100% of its needs. So recently, you're aware, last year, the US Defense Department has agreed to create fabrication and production of these very dedicated chips in India. These are for defense applications, but once you start acquire this capability, you can expand it to any other sector too. So this is again come largely due to the government's bilateral agreement with the United States. So it's a government-to-government deal which led to this. And it's very rare because the US Department of Defense is very, very protective about its technology. So the fact that they've agreed to share it with India speaks very high of the relationship between the two countries in the last few years. So at every level, at various forms of green fuel are being incentivized in India, whether it's solar, wind power, and of course, electric vehicles, as we have been discussing. So whichever way we look at, there are rounds of incentives being given. And we just mentioned to you, they recently tweaked, made it more attractive for foreign companies to invest in EVs in India. Okay. So this is a continuing policy move. It is, in fact, the PM signaled that we are going to continue to offer these kind of incentives in India.
You did mention about the green technology and the electric mobility, how the milestones are being achieved. Anil, how is the faster adoption and manufacturing of hybrid and electric vehicle FAME scheme contributing to India's e-mobility transition?
See, Rajesh, it's happening, but as you know, India's EV sales account for about, 2.5 or 3% of annual car sales. So, you know, in terms of aggregates, it may not look impressive. But if you look back at 4 or 5 years ago, its growth is probably 300-400%. So that the trend line tells you the speed at which these EVs are being adopted in India. But there are challenges in this, particularly the fact that India's access to this technology and the green minerals that go into making these EVs is under a cloud. And not cloud in the sense because the technology capability, India has not yet come up to speed. The other is the problem with green minerals. As you know, Africa is the biggest hub for green minerals, whether it's cobalt, lithium, and so on. And the processing capability of all of this, 80% of it is controlled by China. And ever since the news has come, President-elect Donald Trump will impose additional tariffs on Chinese imports into America. The Chinese have begun to now go slow on sharing of technology as well as personnel, the specialized personnel. So several sectors in India, not in EVs as yet, but it will happen too, but we are seeing it in mobile phones. The technology access is getting restricted. So there's a slowdown. So which means, you know, India has to go now super fast to overcome reduce this gap with the rest of the world so that we have find domestic capability. The good news is that we are off to a good start. But like I said, there has to be some interim, you know, arrangement where our domestic industry is not caught short for lack of access or minerals due to weaponization of this by, you know, rival countries, say, for example, China.
How can India overcome issues like you mentioned, and also that of high initial costs, limited infrastructure and technological gaps in the green and mobility sectors?
Rajesh, one is what the government has done through FAME and this PLI, which is give cover a third of the costs. So you are incentivizing these companies to come in and, you know, de-risking these sectors. That is one. The other method is, particularly in access to green minerals, India is not sitting back and, you know, waiting for the problem to arise. It has already proactively engaged countries like the United States, which has taken a leadership role in creating an alternate supply chain for green minerals, because it's not just India. Even the United States will be threatened if China decides to weaponize its domination of this sector. So there is an alternate supply chain which Americans are trying to create, which India is part of. Then separately, India is also, it has inked agreements with Invest Asia, with Saudi Arabia and UAE. One example is access to green hydrogen, and which is a collaboration between these nations. So India is trying to secure supply chains of fuel, supply chains of green mineral, and a supply chain of technology too. Because it's not just the Chinese, the Americans are also well equipped in EV technology. So if one door shuts, another door can open for India.
Certainly.
So there are multiple ways, and I'm sure the government of India has several tricks up its sleeve.
So given that this requires huge investments, etc., and accessibility to green minerals, etc., how can public-private partnership be leveraged to accelerate progress in green tech and mobility?
See, Rajesh, what public-private partnership does is to de-risk these ventures. So a lot of the risk, just like PLI is de-risking investment, same way PPPs can de-risk. So it's one way of trying to mitigate the challenges here. See, all of these have to work by trial and error. India is not a homogeneous country at all. It's very complex, not only culturally, politically, but also geographically. So these things, I think, will be a case of trial and error. But good news is that, there are very clearly lots of efforts being put in this direction. Some of them are succeeding. I mean, like the way EV adoption cars have taken off in India is an example, you know, that India is capable of taking on these challenges. And we'll have to wait and see. Like I mentioned to you earlier also, this chip manufacture, this is something which India didn't have. So another 5 years from now, this capability will be India's. And once these kind of, state-of-the-art, top-of-the-shelf technologies come in, the level of proficiency and the skill level in the country also grows dramatically. So it has to match it. And that, you know, creates a multiplier of its own. So, you know, right now we may see it as a very difficult scenario, but the EV pace of adoption gives me hope that example will play out in almost every sector that India is looking at.
Okay, on that positive note, I would like to thank you on behalf of Akashvani for being with us and giving your valuable opinion on the matter.
Thank you, Rajesh.
You were listening to a discussion on India's potential in the mobility sector. The participants were Anil Padmanabhan, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.